So, NBA draft, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs.
Conspiracy, conspiracy, conspiracy.
Really?
Well, just for one of them.
All right, whatever. Let's do this.
Tinfoil hat time, kids.
See me rolling, they hating, patrolling and trying to catch me riding dirty.
And we welcome you once again to Eastbound and Fourth Down. My name is Ryan Kelly. His name is
Craig Olson.
And we're here to talk about the nonsense of sports this week, particularly the lottery of the NBA, the worst draft system in the history of mankind, because it's the most easily tainted and polluted.
There are quotation marks around those.
Don't even.
Because technically you can't prove it. I mean, we all know it. I mean, everybody could just look at it and see.
Listen.
That's rigged.
We all know the compromising pictures of Adam Silver and David Stern that one Mr. Dan Gilbert has in his possession.
Alleged, and that's just one of the things he has on top of them. He is also...
This is by the way, today's show, at least this segment, is brought to you by the word... Allegedly.
You know, it probably isn't hard to prove these things, but he probably also is holding family members, family pets, beloved objects hostage... Dan Gilbert is allegedly a shady guy.
Yeah, it's not pretty.
It's quite the mathematical odds, the actual mathematic odds of winning the number one pick in the NBA, 3 out of the last 4, and I'm not entirely sure on this next one, but I want to say 4 out of the last 11 years, however many years LeBron James has been in the NBA, and 11 actually sounds right. Yeah, because he won it in his 7th year, and then it's 3 years after that. It doesn't look good.
No, it does not.
When a team this inept keeps winning it nearly... If it was 10 years, 40% out of the time, so it's something less than 40, so it's somewhere around 38% out of the last decade in a year, this team wins it.
And on top of that, they blow it every year.
With the exception of LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. But both of LeBron James bailed on them, in which they got the quote-unquote karma, well, at least alleged karma pick there that next year. But
they blew.
They were actually quite horrible. And they chose Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie Irving wants out. Then, you know, then they get it again, and choose Anthony Bennett last year, confusing everybody. I mean, granted, last year's rookie draft class was, not to insult any of the young men in that, but it was subpar.
Yeah, the Sixers and the Magic are the only two that really got good deals out of that.
Well, the Sixers only because they, fleeced New Orleans and got Anthony Bennett out of it, who then sat the year out, then got Michael Carter-Williams. And the only reason why Michael Carter-Williams won Rookie of the Year was because the NBA felt bad for Philly after being so horrible, and the fact that he was the only guy on that team who will be on an NBA roster next year, probably. The rest of those guys are D-leaguers at best. And he just jacked up a whole bunch of shots and got numbers from meaningless games.
That he did. I still think Victor has the better career ahead of him.
Victor had the better year, too.
Yeah. But,
you know, whatever.
But, yeah, what confounds me is, you know, so many people, and you can tell, and you know this is true, so many people, it's rigged if the Lakers get it, it's rigged if the Celtics get it. I told you day of.
You did.
Cavs are getting it.
You did. I don't know what you're not good at those gut picks a lot, but you got that one nail on the head.
See,
you got lucky there, and so did the Cavs.
I was about to say, I miss a lot of those like gut feelings, but when I'm right,
And it's bad.
I'm right.
You should never be right, because whenever you have these things, they're generally horrible things. And the only reason why we get why the Cavs got this pick is because it was their pick given to them through a trade. I forget the team. Do you recall the team?
No.
That they got? Anyways, they got that through another team, and the only reason why it was a top three pick is because that team's name got called where it did in the draft, and it instantly vaulted it to a top three pick.
Did you like cocky Dan Gilbert?
That wasn't Dan Gilbert. That was their new general manager.
Oh, what?
Yeah, that was their general manager. That's not Dan Gilbert. Dan Gilbert wears glasses. This was their new general manager. Because they fired the old
one. He's their fifth one this week.
This month. Actually, he's the third one in 3 years, and they're on... When you go back and look at this, why they don't deserve it. They don't deserve it because, A, last year they screwed up and picked a horrible player. They didn't pick a guy who's going to be... The book isn't written on Anthony Bennett, but it's not looking good, kids.
No. Anthony Bennett, I mean, it doesn't matter. Even if he has a decent career, he's not an elite talent worthy of a number one overall pick.
No, he wasn't.
He was a second rounder at best.
He played himself into the first round. Lower first round. Not a lottery guy. But then you go and you hire a coach who you previously fired. You have a bad GM. You hire a bad
Mike
coach.
Mike Brown and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Two bad tastes that taste worse together.
Your star player, who actually gets national ads once out and has said so through various sources, if not publicly, and somehow you get it again this year. And this year, the draft... I don't necessarily want to go can't miss, but I'm going to give you very good odds at an Andrew Wiggins, Joel Embiid, Julius Randle, or Jabari Parker.
I want Jabari to fall to Orlando.
What should have happened was Utah should have gotten... This was my tinfoil hat moment. The NBA gifts Utah with the number one overall pick. Utah's never won it. And the Mormon sensation that is Jabari Parker ends up going to Utah. And let's face it, it would be huge for Utah to get a star Mormon player.
That would be, yeah.
It would be. Would that be the best landing place for him, do you think?
No, I think it'd be Orlando.
Objectively?
Yes, I think it'd be Orlando. No, yes, Utah would be the best spot for him.
Yeah, and, you know... It'd be good. It'd be a good story. I could get behind that story. You know, it's a nice story. Utah's a horrible team. Utah hasn't had nice things.
Oh, Dickie V thinks the Cavs should take Jabari Parker. Dickie V has taken to Twitter as resident NBA draft expert because he's.
I believe you mean resident Duke scout.
No.
Last year, baby, I told him to take Victor, and they didn't do it. Look what's happened to him now, baby!
No, last year he told him to take whoever the best player from Duke was, Plumlee.
No, he told him to take Victor.
You know he told him to take Duke player.
maybe in his heart.
If you're not from Duke, Dick Vitale probably doesn't like you.
Hey, Dick Vitale loves everybody. Except Roy Williams.
But he loves Duke more.
This is true. This is very, very
true. If you are Coach K, a Coach K guy, or a student of that university, you are at the top of Dick Vitale's list.
So I got to ask you what you think about the potential of Andrew Wiggins and Johnny Manziel being in the same town.
Well, due to the fact that Andrew Wiggins isn't box office in the way that Johnny Manziel would be, and due to the fact that whoever Cleveland Cavaliers, whoever they draft, would actually guaranteed get starting minutes, and Johnny Manziel, as of today, is still slated as the backup to Brian Hoyer, or whatever his name is.
But is that really going to happen?
Yes. If Cleveland is actually wanting to get better at football, they will bench Johnny Manziel. At the start, I'm not saying he doesn't get to come in and play his way in because bad quarterback play, but he should not be the starter week one.
So
the NBA guy, he's going to start week one, and he will probably contribute instantly on an overall bad team. I mean, just look at the people. What I don't get is every time there's a team who drafts number one, every analyst on every show says there's a lot of young talent on this team. Oh, yeah? Then why are they drafting number one?
Yeah.
What talent? Kyrie Irving doesn't count. He's the talent, but everyone... But then you look at the mismanagement of the GMs that have placed the players around him. It just makes no sense. None of these guys gel together, and you have a whole bunch of guys. Do you think Cleveland should trade this pick, perhaps, for a veteran?
No.
No?
No.
Not even if it was Kevin Love, even though Kevin Love will never agree to sign to stay there?
I was about to say, Kevin Love would never sign. You're never going to get you're never going to get a huge veteran superstar to come in there and agree to terms in the way they are. Cleveland has to address their problems through young talent in the draft, because superstars that are already established know the mess that organization is, and unless it doesn't get turned around through players who are forced to be there,
all right.
It's never turning around.
But to complete the tinfoil hat moment to its fullest, I gotta go. What if there's a guaranteed wink nod that LeBron James is coming back?
I don't see it. I don't see it.
Neither do I. He's not going to Cleveland.
You know what I could see, though? You know,
look, he's not going to Cleveland.
You know what I could see? The Lakers trade Kobe for the pick.
Okay, look, there's a little bit of dysfunction between Jerry Buss and Kobe right now, because Kobe went on vacation even though he wasn't even going to play. I don't think that warrants trading away their best player.
But Kobe's not getting any younger, man.
I'm sorry. If they traded Kobe, trying to phrase this delicately here.
They're idiots.
There will be riots in the streets of LA again.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to riot. They're going to riot. You can't trade Kobe. Kobe, while he is tradable from a basketball standpoint, from a fan base perspective, due to the fact that Kobe Bryant has never, ever wronged a Laker fan, I don't know, maybe there was one time. I don't know. Nobody talks about that anymore. They would be a little bit miffed if they were to trade Kobe Bryant.
Ooh.
And honestly, I don't think they could. What they should do, though, is they should trade away some of that young, hot talent they have for a veteran player. Chris Bosh, his contract's going to be up. I don't see Miami keeping him, although there's a little bit of a buzz going around, a little bit of a rumor that Chris Bosh might want to go home to Dallas for the twilight of his career. Because he's a Dallas guy.
By the way, I've got some breaking news for you. It's about time we transitioned away anyway. The final 23-man roster for the World Cup just came out.
U.S.?
Notable exceptions. Seattle Sounders, Brad Evans. Clarence Goodson's cut. Joe Corona. Maurice Edu. Terrence Boyd. Michael Parkhurst. And Landon Donovan did not make the cut.
You're telling me Landon isn't going to the... We're done. Game over.
I'm completely...
How do you cut Landon Donovan?
How? Because when...
How is he not number 23? Who's 23?
See, here's the thing. My problem is this. Jurgen Klinsmann wants the best from his players.
I know he does, but Landon Donovan shows up for World Cup.
Listen, the thing is this, though. When you have a guy who literally leaves the sport because he's not sure if he likes it anymore...
I know that puts some pause in him, but he played great for America's during qualifiers, during CONCACAF.
But, man, I mean, me and you both know friendlies, CONCACAF, stuff like that.
Not the same level. Nothing's the same level as the Cup, but you're telling me you're going to get rid of the face of American soccer, the most veteran guy, the most clutch guy when it comes to World Cup moments.
But for
what a beautiful goal.
But for the first time in a long time, America's got a great influx of young talent.
You got to tell me who's who's the 23rd guy who kicked him off?
I mean, see, here's the thing. I look over a lot of this roster. I can't say no to it. I mean, it's got great names. Seattle Sounders' own DeAndre Yeldon makes it, by the way. Chris Wondolowski, Kyle Beckerman, Clint Dempsey, obviously. Michael Bradley, obviously.
I do like Wondo.
Jeff Cameron made it. How's it going, Jeff?
I do like Wondo. Wondo, he earned a special... He probably did better than
Wondo.
I would go as far as...
Okay, Tim Howard did get the call-up. I didn't see his name on the list.
I was about to say, do we have another goaltender besides Timmy?
Yeah, we have... Oh, man, what's his name?
Is he any good?
Yeah, he played for us in the Gold Cup.
Okay. Well, so, Tim, but Tim has had some poor World Cup moments.
That he has.
He's on those winner-go-home games. He's obviously been on the losing end every time. Not saying it's strictly his fault, but we get our shot back at Ghana.
But, yeah.
Looking forward to that one.
I think the Yanks are in a good position here. If they can... Listen,
First off, we have to win against Ghana, and it's got to be by more than one goal.
Oh, yeah. You've got to beat Ghana.
Minimum two-goal victory over Ghana.
But see, here's the thing.
I don't know if I can get
it. I understand Ronaldo's great, but Portugal's kind of a one-trick pony.
Chokers!
Portugal is a one-trick pony, and if you get past him...
Well, okay, we have good history against Portugal. We've beaten Portugal before.
The thing is...
That was the big World Cup 8 years ago or 12 years ago.
Might have been 12.
Oh, gosh. But where was the World Cup in between that Japan, Korea, and South Africa?
I don't remember.
Oh, you're right, though. It's 12. Because there was another one. Because wasn't that the year that Italy... That was the year Italy won it.
Yeah.
I forget who won the Japan one, but I know for a fact Italy won, and then it was that was more than 12. Was that 16 years ago?
That wasn't 16 years ago, no.
It was just 12? No. Because somewhere in there Spain won.
Because our big advancement to the round of 16 was in the 2000s.
Okay, you're right. It would have been... I guess it would have been 12. It couldn't be 14, but it's 12. It's definitely 12.
Yeah, but...
It was really early. I was really young, and...
But the thing is this. I really like the U.S.'s chances here. I mean, a lot of people...
You are the only one who does.
I mean, because I just don't see why people are so scared of Portugal. I don't.
No, we're scared of Germany.
Well, yeah, and we're not going to beat Germany.
I know.
Just beat the other two like you should. Get over this stupid notion of a Ghana curse. Beat a team that you're clearly better than. Beat a one-trick pony in Portugal. Beat them bad enough to negate the oncoming slaughter that will be Germany match.
Like I said, goal differential is going to be huge in that. And we're going to have to hope that Portugal gets it. Basically, Portugal can't outscore us. Basically, win Ghana, we can draw with Portugal, we just have to score more goals than they do. So, basically, we need a lot of help from Germany and Ghana to put up a good enough fight.
You know, speaking of scoring goals, there's a team, the National Basketball Association, that hasn't been doing a lot of that lately.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, their names are the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah. That's weird, going from basketball to footy to basketball there.
Yeah.
But let's keep going there, because it needs to be said. That series has started, and San Antonio has come out with a resounding 2-game lead, just absolute decimating the Thunder. Now, I put this question to you. Can you see San Antonio blowing this 2-game lead?
Nope.
Like they did 2 years ago?
Nope.
Nope?
Nope.
All right.
Listen.
That was the first question. Second question is, how many games do you currently have? I know you spoke
4
early in the week. Oh, you're down to 4 now too.
4. Yep.
I would like. I texted you game 1.
You
4,
did.
4. Spurs and 4. Now I should mention that Serge Ibaka is out because he blew out his leg in the victory.
And at the end of the day, that's it. I mean, Oklahoma City's only chance was to make these games shootout. And what good is a shootout team that can't score points? Scored 77. That is paltry in a Western Conference Finals. I don't care how good, how disciplined the Spurs are. That's pathetic.
Sir, this is the San Antonio Spurs led by the big fundamental. They play defense on Greg Popovich's teams. That's not pathetic. That's unfortunate.
That's... But my thing is this. Oklahoma City's going to get swept, and if they know what's good for them, they're going to fire Scott Brooks.
We also talked about this. I just want to say, not knowing that Serge Ibaka was out, I had the Spurs in 5. Serge Ibaka being out, I had the Spurs in 4. The Spurs, the only way that the Thunder could have beat the Spurs was because Serge Ibaka is the key to Oklahoma City's defense. When he goes, they have no defense. But, yeah, and I've been a little bit reluctant. You've been calling for Scott Brooks' head for 2 years now.
It's been a while. I get the Westbrook injury. I get the Ibaka injury. But at the same time, Cleveland's teams with LeBron back in the day made it to the finals.
Well, they got swept by the Spurs in short fashion.
They did. However, KD should be able to make it to the finals.
Well, he did.
Well, a better KD than...
LeBron only made it to the finals with the Cavs one time. Listen. Is this okay? Well, I held off onto it, but this year I agreed to it because those losses to the Clippers just should not have happened. With a better coach, they wouldn't have happened, and that series wouldn't have gone on as long as they were, because the Thunder are a better team than the Clippers, as I still stand by, and as the proof has shown. But I don't think this will happen. Now, granted, no one saw LeBron leaving Cleveland. Well, not at this point. Do you see Oklahoma City losing its star?
I don't. I really don't.
Either of them.
Westbrook, maybe.
Westbrook? You'd say Westbrook
over
would
Durant.
Be more likely to jump. No, I'm not going to ask you landing, because he gets to pick his landing.
Because KD doesn't want to be that bad guy that LeBron was for the longest time.
Oh, really? You could have fooled me by that ad campaign he ran last year, Bad KD. Could have fooled me. Although I noticed that campaign did not continue this year.
Kevin Durant's reputation is everything to him. It's what his image is built on. It's what it's founded on. And quite frankly, I mean, you have to like that you can have all this spotlight, and at the same time, you're in a smaller market. You're in one of the smallest markets in the league. You're in a place where you can be insanely popular, and at the same time, you don't have every camera in the world and every radio station in the world and everything flying in your face at once.
Even though Oklahoma City is the largest city in America, landmass-wise.
Incorrect. Second largest.
No, it's bigger than Jacksonville.
No, it's not.
It is.
I guarantee you.
I don't know. Haven't we had this discussion before? I know Jacksonville's the largest city in Florida.
U.S. cities by area. Here we go. Number one. Okay, this is going by weird metrics, but just know this, Jacksonville's bigger.
All right.
There's like 4 cities in Alaska, and then there's Jacksonville.
I want a different list. It just listed Alaskan cities. There's nothing in Alaska. You can just claim stuff in Alaska, and no one challenges you, because you don't have a next-door neighbor for like 50 miles. I was like, yeah, the entire northeastern part of Alaska. Yeah.
Of the continental states, Jacksonville's the largest.
Jacksonville's the largest? Okay. Well, then that changed, because when last I looked, the stat was Oklahoma City.
Nah.
It was.
It's been that way since Duval County and Jacksonville consolidated. So.
When was that?
The 60s. 70s. Promise you, Craig.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go, kids. Fun fact, Jacksonville's the largest city in America.
Yeah.
Landmass-wise.
But anyway.
Not population.
Yeah, population, they're probably...
pretty low on the list.
No, not terribly. I mean, they have 1 million people.
Okay.
And if you count the surrounding counties, they probably have a little bit more.
I don't. But I can just name New York...
Well, yeah.
New York, L.A. Houston.
1 out of every 33 people in the United States lives in New York.
Which is weird. It just seems weird that 1 out of 33 people in the U.S. lives in New York City.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. It's just a surprisingly small number. Large percent, I should say.
But anyway, yeah. So, we've talked about the West a little bit, and we've talked about geography for a little bit. We did not find Carmen Sandiego, but let's move on to the East.
Keep things educational up in here.
The Pacers.
Yep.
Indiana. Pacers. The team that everyone made every excuse in the world why they wouldn't reach the Eastern Conference Finals reached the Eastern Conference Finals. The Miami Heat. The other team that everyone made every excuse in the world would not reach the Eastern Conference Finals made the Eastern Conference Finals. It's the most anticlimactic matchup ever in the history of man.
I don't know. It's probably up there. I don't know. I can't really think of anticlimactic things at the moment.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Indiana makes her statement in game one.
Roy Hibbert actually shows up. Every single last one of the Pacers starters were in double digits, point-wise. And they played solid defense and had good ball movement. And they never lost the lead.
It was a clinic of what Pacers basketball should look like.
And what got everybody excited and saying, I guess this team was only made for Miami. And this team was made to play Miami specifically. This is a lot like back in the late 80s, early 90s, when the Detroit Pistons made their team to beat the Celtics and beat the Lakers. And then the Chicago Bulls made their team around Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. And they stole Dennis Rodman whenever the Pistons had to trade Dennis Rodman due to the expansion draft, and they had to get rid of him. No, it wasn't Rodman. They got rid of someone else. But they ended up, Bulls ended up getting Rodman to beat the Pistons there for. And this is what you do in the NBA. You have a dominant power who sets a dynastic.
You build the weapon to beat the bully.
Yeah. You say, what do they have? How do we beat them? Now, whether or not that will work against the Western team, you just build to win your conference pretty much, and then you hope that it's good enough to win the league. But, of course, that's what Larry Bird, the president of basketball operations of the Pacers, went out and did. And at the start of the year, it looked like he did a fine job. But they hit some bumpy patches. Things went south. They skirted through the first round, stumbled through the second round, and as of currently, the Heat came back to win game two. And this looks exactly like it did last year when the Pacers got thumped in the first game, came back to win the second one on the road, going back to this under lower seeds home for games three and four.
Yes, me and you both talked about this. It is so important. So important for Indy to take one here, because if Indy does not take one here, they're done.
Game over. Go home. Pack your knives and go home, kids. It's the Pacers. At this point, they're one foot in the grave because they lost the game at home. That was their whole reason. It's gonna go seven games. We need home field advantage because we're only gonna win at home. Well, they didn't necessarily say it in those words. They probably have it in their mind where they can win one at Miami, and they have won at Miami. But Miami has been a shell of itself during the regular season. Lots of injuries. Dwayne Wade sat out half the season. LeBron James sat out, I don't know, maybe half the fourth quarters of the season. A lot of bench play. A lot of, we're not going to show up to play this game because it's all about the playoffs. If they lose this game, it's over for them.
See, I don't feel if they lose this game, if they get swept at the AAA, they're done. If they can give this game,
no.
It would be extremely difficult to come back from, but they can give it.
They can never lose the lead in the series. They have to either be up one or tied. They cannot be down 2-1 at any point in the time and give Miami that extra mental padding going into the game knowing, hey, we're up one. That's one game less that we need to last. Because Miami has been playing basketball nearly 365 days of the year for the past 4 years. They've been to the NBA Finals 4 years in a row now. You have to think this has got to be adding up on these guys. Quite frankly, I'm amazed that Dwayne Wade's knees haven't blown out and didn't get blown out when he And Paul George went to the ground, and he kneed Paul George in the head with both knees on his way down.
Yeah.
It looked like Paul George got the worst of that rather than Dwayne Wade and his Kevlar-padded knee braces.
But anyway, you know, so what do you think ends up there, if you had to guess?
Unfortunately, the way the Pacers have been playing, I have the Heat winning it in six.
I have Miami in seven. I really hope I'm wrong. Go prove me wrong, Pacers.
I really hope I'm wrong. Heck, I hope that it goes to seven games, if only to make the Heat more tired when they have to face the San Antonio Spurs, who will be out for blood.
Oh, yeah.
Ray Allen doesn't have that stroke like he did last year. So Ray Allen isn't going to be bailing out the Miami Heat should they make it to the NBA Finals against the San Antonio Spurs.
So that when the fans leave for the exits really quick, they're not going to try to come back in?
Or allege that they were in there. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And the San Antonio Spurs, if you thought they were good at threes last year, with the addition of Marco Bellinelli, who the Chicago Bulls should have never let go, they can now make it rain on demand.
Yeah.
I'm talking just from downtown the entire game. Danny Green got hot again last night and had another 7 3-point game, similar to the one he had against Miami. And people know he can shoot threes in the playoffs now, so there's no surprise now. These will be two teams that know each other very well, and hopefully it'll be seven games or a four-game sweep for the Spurs.
Yeah, but, you know, there's another playoff going on.
There is,
and it's
Sir Stanley's.
It's kind of like, it's almost exactly like the NBA, except opposite coasts. We have an intriguing series on one end.
Yes.
And we have the most disgusting brutalization of hockey on the East Coast. And let's go ahead and start with that. Carey Price is out for the Canadiens.
Yep, that was quite unfortunate. He was taken out by a New York Ranger in a fluke accident.
And on top of that, Henrik Lundqvist doesn't let anything get past him.
No,
Henrik,
he doesn't.
Would you care to take a guess at Henrik Lundqvist's save percentage this season?
Probably somewhere around 86.
Try .934.
Yeah, that was close.
Teams average 1.93 goals a game against him.
Yeah. And this has been known for quite some time that Henrik Lundqvist is the best goalie in hockey. He just doesn't win the Conn Smythe Award, I believe, is goalie. Yes?
I think so.
Conn Smythe? Yeah, he just doesn't win the Conn Smythe Trophy. It's Conn Smythe Defensiveman. I don't know,
but all the awards always go to Jonathan Quick.
Yeah, they do, even though he just... Well, he played a heck of a game.
Well,
Jonathan
Quick had a very rough middle of the season. And part of that's just because he got tired because the Kings couldn't score goals.
Well,
They figured
that out yesterday. Some fella on their team had a hat trick.
Yeah, the Kings ended up winning 6-2 after it being tied 2-2 at second intermission going into the third period.
Quite frankly, I was shocked and appalled.
Yes.
By that, because Chicago is Jonathan Quick's kryptonite. He can't beat them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He is horrible. He will let anything through. He will let a beach ball through. If they were playing with beach balls, Jonathan Quick would just let them through.
You know what I mean?
He jumps away from pucks when playing the Chicago Blackhawks as if they were poison.
And the thing is, you can't really hang this on Corey Crawford.
No, you can't.
I mean, because Corey Crawford's had a phenomenal season. .926 save percentage.
And you like to hate on Corey Crawford, but the fact is, Corey Crawford just
has turned
wins.
Into a great goal. He's turned into a great goalie.
No, he just turns into reliable, I just go out there and win.
Yeah.
That, and it helps the fact that you have the best line in all of hockey. When you got Jonathan Toews out there, it makes your job back at the other end a heck of a lot easier. I mean, you got all these guys from Chicago, just this offensive, just smorgusboard. It's not really fair.
Yeah, but it's pretty obvious on the western end, or the eastern end, excuse me.
Yeah, this is
the Rangers game, and this is...
Going back to Madison Square Garden with just... ugly blowouts.
I could see the Habs maybe taking a game just because it's hockey and stuff like that happens.
They couldn't win it in Canada. They couldn't win it in Canada in one of the biggest fan bases in Canada. Second biggest fan base in Canada.
Oh, yeah. The Habs. I'd argue that the Habs are bigger than the Leafs.
You would, but the Leafs make
in
more
terms
money.
Of, yes.
The Leafs make more money, so you gotta.
But Habs that. Fans care more.
I would agree with that statement. I would agree with that. They're, not to call them the Green Bay Packers of the Canadian hockey. But,
no, they're not salt of the earth enough. Now, if you want to call it the Calgary Flames...
I don't even know how many people like the Calgary Flames because...
Well, it's not that their fan base is huge. It's just that their fan base is the very salt of the earth. Oh, hello, how's it going?
That's every Canadian I've ever met.
Until they're at a hockey game.
Yeah, I know. Good lord. They're no better than Americans when they're
until
at
they
hockey.
Turn into... No, they're worse.
They're, I was like, yeah,
until they turn into savage monsters.
You don't blame us. I mean, good lord. I mean, I'd rather go sit in the black hole than go sit in a hockey game.
Ooh,
on Canadian
yeesh.
Soil.
Easy. Easy killer.
Hey, no. I'm just going worst for worst.
But...
You want to go sit in the black hole or you want to go sit in the Maple Leaf game?
Ooh. Well, the black hole, I can at least hide in the tarps.
Yeah, although I bet the plumbing facilities at any Canadian arena would be much more preferable than to the Coliseum.
Oh, did you hear that in Minnesota they're auctioning off the pee troughs in the old Metrodome?
Do you want to know how sad it is that that A does not shock me, and item number two, I expect them to fetch at least $65 per section?
Oh, they're getting a pretty penny. Yeah. You know it.
Do we already have? Do we have? Do we have? Do we have early early numbers in all this?
I do know. I do not know.
Okay.
No.
Well, we will keep you posted as we know you must be just as riveted by this story as we are.
Yeah. So there's that.
Oh, that and if you build a new stadium and you live in the coldest NFL city in America, you can still get a Super Bowl.
Speaking of stadiums,
what's up with that?
One more side note until we come back to the Western. Well, it's a domed stadium.
You've never been to Minneapolis in the winter, have you?
No, I went in the summer.
I've been to Minneapolis in the winter.
Yeah.
It's not the most pleasant place I'd want to go in the winter.
It's
cold.
Probably not.
And they say, oh, but we had a Super Bowl back in the 90s and it was fine. You just went from building to building. I don't care. Heck, I'd rather relive that Jerry World fiasco back when everyone promised that Dallas was a southern city and it's warm. It's not Minneapolis cold. Minneapolis is cold. Dallas was inhospitable.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, one more thing I wanted to, before we move on and talk a little bit more and give our Western Conference predictions in the NHL, I want to say rest in peace to the stadium, to the track that sits around Wallace Wade Stadium. Duke's going about renovations and the track is no more. This is devastating.
It is. I honestly, as an ACC alumni, I don't know how to look at this. I don't know how to take it.
It's heartbreaking.
It is one of.
Wait.
And I'm not exaggerating when I say this. It is literally one of the most treasured traditions in ACC. Is the Duke track around its football field? It's you know.
It's heartbreaking.
Miami has swag. FSU has the tomahawk chop, and Duke has a tracker on his football field.
The only team who could ever get away with that is the Washington Huskies.
Texas A&M has the 12th man. Duke has a track. It's so important to that school's identity.
It's heritage, Paul,
and they're taking it away from them. If I was the student, okay, look, people got mad when FSU modified its logo. If I was a Duke student, honestly, I'd be flipping cars, burning couches, rioting in the streets over this. Quite frankly, I mean, you know,
yep.
I'm a little ashamed that they don't have more school pride.
The good news is you get Wallace Wade in its current form until 2016.
Okay, so we have some time to go lay some roses on the track.
Yeah.
We can go let's go have a memorial. Let's go have a memorial, guys.
The finished rendering is actually really nice, though.
Well, yeah, it's Duke. Name an ugly thing on that campus.
No. The women.
Oh.
I'm kidding.
Oh.
I'm kidding.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Kidding.
I don't share their feeling, ladies.
I'm kidding.
Direct your iron.
I'm kidding.
Hey.
I'm kidding.
If you wanted to say the performance of their baseball team, I'd have said, yep, but I mean, you would.
Well, their baseball team is actually somewhat decent this year.
Yeah, well.
They're going to make the playoffs.
Normally.
By the way, fun stat about ACC baseball, Maryland made the conference tournament for the first time in 10 years.
On their farewell
tour.
You think this was just the ACC just letting them in just to say...
Just to say, we're going to put you in a pool with Florida State, who you've only won 8 games against historically.
Yeah. How exactly is this off topic? That's round robin kind of weird pool.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
It's weird.
When the ACC expands to 16 in all sports besides football next season, it's turning into a double elimination tournament.
That's good. But
as it should be.
College baseball should always be double elimination.
But either way, back to hockey. Western Conference, as we discussed, it's a big game. Patrick Kane and the Hawks, I mean, how can they not be the favorite in the West almost every season? But
my faith isn't shaking them at all. They're going to bounce back. They bounced back against St. Louis when St. Louis beat them in the first round and had a couple good games against them.
But, I mean, you have a Kings team that beat the crazy offensive firepower of the Anaheim Ducks.
It
made them
disappear when they played the Kings.
Yes, well, it disappeared when they played Quick, which is weird because it usually doesn't.
That's true.
It's the Ducks are one of those kryptonite king teams for the Kings, but I mean
not like the Blackhawks are when it comes to playoffs.
But I'm with you. I mean, I know Gabarek is a great goal scorer. I know Kopitar has had a fantastic season.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm with you. I like the Hawks, and I like them in 6.
I'm also take Hawks in 6. We do like to a bit on Jonathan Quick and the Kings, but they are a talented squad.
That they are.
They had a bunch of players on Team America. I'm gonna cut them some slack there.
But
Don Brown's on that team.
But yeah, we like to make fun of Jonathan Quick. You know what else we like? We like you, our fans.
A lot.
And if you like us too,
give us high fives.
And like us on Facebook, Eastbound and Fourth Down. And while you're at it, follow us on Twitter at EB4D_podcast.
And if people follow us on Twitter, maybe we'll actually tweet.
Yeah. And
right now, there isn't that many to tweet to, so. But if you do, we promise witty comments on a semi-regular basis.
But anyway, we have that. Thank you so much for listening to us. I'm Ryan Kelly.
I'm Greg Wilson.
Y'all come back now.
Yeah, here.
Eastbound and down. Loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch your back.